I couldn't tell you, Mike, how many times I thought that I was in the big time. And at the end of the day, I was this big. I can't help but feel overwhelmed right now by the presence of God. And I feel like that in my late, in the days of late for me, I feel like that a weight that's been pressed on me for a while is just finally starting to come off a little bit. And I'm beginning to realize the strength that God's talking about that's derived from our joy in Him. Not just strength that I have with my own physical self, but the strength that I draw from my happiness in God. Praise the Lord. Oh, I draw to that every chance that I get to, because there's no other way. There's no other way. I've clung to a lot of things in my life, and I put my hand to a lot, but I've realized what really brings me through. It's not the assurance that I give myself in the moment that I'll be okay. But it's the assurance in the moment, Jamie, when I stand up and say, God, I know that you're going to bring me through it. God, I know that you're going to carry me out. Even if I'm laying dead, Lord, I know you'll pick me up out of it and raise me to a place where I can be worthy. I'm excited. I don't know about you. And the Lord's showing me, even if it's just me that's excited. Even if it's just me, I preached some places here lately where I felt like I was the only one excited. But it still will not change where I'm going. It's not going to deter me. It's not going to slow me down. I'm going on. I'm going on, and I'm not giving up anymore. Gave so much ground up just because I thought that I was already defeated. Gave up ground because it wasn't within my vision. When we should begin to trust God with that. I feel something stirring. I feel something stirring. Hallelujah. I've said many times in my life that I've tried and I've failed. And I left it at that. Left it alone and put it behind me. I failed in that. And I'm talking about our callings. The gifts and callings that God has given each and every one of us. Well, Lord, I've tried it a few times and it seems like that they just didn't like it. And we feel like that that's failure, Mike. We feel like that's failure. Well, Lord, you know I only can sing this style of music, and every time I sing it, it seems like that everybody's distracted. Two people are asleep, and five people are looking at what time it is. And we feel like that's a failure. But if God puts it here, if it's something that speaks to you, Josh, if it's something that stirs you, I would want you to sing that instead of my favorite old song. I'd rather hear the same song 100 times if it's of God than to have the best lineup in the world. You can go pay $40 and hear the best praise and worship entertainment that money has to buy. But I choose to hear that anointed. I choose to hear that spirit filled. No matter how loud it gets, hallelujah, it's our battle cry. Don't you realize that the more that we begin to lift up God, the less that we begin to hear of the enemy? The more that we bring that worship in, as it begins to dwell in us, a power, a zeal, a desire begins to rise up in us. Oh, Lord God, I thank you. There's something that begins to dwell in me. And it starts with just a little bit of an utterance. And if you push hard enough, you can end up in a dance. It can end up in a run. It can end up however God wants to finish it. If we just be willing to let Him do that. But so many times, that's what I was thinking about and praying about today, and I just cried out to God, Lord, I want God to pick up. God, I want to pick up all the slack that I've been dropping. That was new for me when I was praying. I heard that in my spirit. Lord, I don't want to drop any slack. God, I want to pick up my share of the load. There's so many people that's depending on us to be a body that stands for the truth. There's so many people that's looking into us to be the people that will help them through when they're not strong enough. Now God is wanting His people to carry such an anointing that we come in the door that people don't have to wonder if God's here. They'll already know it. They'll already see it in you. They'll see something dwelling. They'll know that you have joy. They won't have to guess. They won't have to wonder. They'll just know that it's in you. Sometimes it's hard to smile in the midst of a trial. Hey, that rhymed. Sometimes it's hard to smile in the midst of a trial, but through and by God, we can make it. God is able to deliver. Say deliver. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Now, I know that we don't have fiery pits that we hop into, but there's some things that we go through that feel like that it would burn us up, and on our own we will not make it. But when we begin to stand up to the enemy for a change, begin to believe that God is stronger than us. I didn't say in us, I said than us. God is stronger than us. Why do you say that? Because so many times we try to hop in that furnace. Go in there, I've got it all. I've got enough anointing where I don't even have to pray. I just walk in it all. Come on now. That's the slack I'm talking about. Lord, help me to pick up my slack in prayer. God, help me to pick up my slack in just reading an everyday devotional. And when I say prayer, I mean devoted prayer. And we know what it is to get a hold of God. Danny, it's not always easy. It's not always easy just to dig in there and just start praying and not get up until you feel something in you that lets you know that he's there. It's one thing to wonder if he's there, but it's another when you pray to know the very moment when he comes by. For me, it feels like a wind sometimes, Daniel. Sometimes it's like a still small voice that just picks me up out of my depression. How many of us battle depression? I know I'm not the only one sometimes that gets down on themselves because they're discouraged of the things that they do for God. But the voice that discourages us is not one we should listen to. But if we humor it long enough, we'll be dwelling with our hankies and our tears that were never meant to be. God put something in us that's stronger than depression. Did you hear what I'm saying? Oh, it's good to have the anointing to be able to rise up out of depression. There's another reference that talks about if they will not receive you in the city to shake the dust off of your feet. Has symbolism that it's not going to get you down. I don't care, Mike, if they boo me out of here. I don't care anymore. Because if I'm following after God's will, following after God's plan, he will take care of business. I won't have to worry about a thing. So many times we plant a good seed, and we'll go back and we'll dig it back up with our doubt of what God has done. Listen, God is truth, and it's going to hurt sometimes. God's word is like a two-edged sword, and it's going to hurt when it comes by and lets us know, hey, Jared, it's time to change. Hey, it's time to let go of the doubt. It's time to let go of the worry and begin to trust God in a greater way. I want to be a servant of truth and not a servant of patty cake. I'm over that. I want to give you something, Jerry, that when I speak, that I believe it with you. I love everybody in here so much. And I want us to grow, and I want to see all those in bondage delivered. And I see so many of them in trouble. And I'm just so tired of the enemy working us to where we have nothing left to give. And I'm giving you a message of encouragement tonight. I'm letting you know that you're not the only one that faces suffering. But through God, we can overcome it. I want to see people saved. I want to see them delivered. But if we don't get it together, we'll never see it. We got to pick up the slack. If you see a couple brothers and sisters that's stepping out trying to get in the pool, where are we? We going to watch them swim, or are we going to get in with them?
I say, let's get in together and not wait. Well, I don't like them very much. You're going to have to get past that. You're going to have to mind God regardless. That person that you might be resenting might be the very anointed hand that comes by and heals through their obedience. But if we're hindering, we're casting doubt on them, and they come to pray for us, it'll never come to pass because there's no agreement. That's just an applied example. If we hold resentment, I felt that word of truth coming forth, and I receive every bit of that that Gail said. How many of us receive that tonight? We don't need to let anything stand in the way of what God has in store here. I've been traveling here the past few weeks, and it makes me appreciate where I'm going. That means I'm proud of the direction that God's taking us in. And I'm glad that we're not in a state of silence. I'm glad that there's some life in here. And I'm encouraging you to continue to stir up the very thing that God has placed in you to use. You see, He didn't create us to be people that's walking dead, but He wants to see a little life. I know I might look silly, but if God be for me, who could be against me? What form of addiction could stand the anointing of God? What form of depression could ever win when God's anointing says, go forth in the name of Jesus? Woo! Woo! What could stand where the light dwells? Ooh. We better be careful. Oh. God is able to fulfill your promise. Say promise. Romans chapter 4, 20-21. It's talking about Abraham now. We're moving on. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded what He had promised, he was able to perform. Josh, 80% of the way ain't going to cut it, man. We can't somewhat believe and somewhat doubt. That's a mixture for an unstable mind. We're double-minded. If we're trusting God one day and completely doubting Him the next. Now we know better. And God's growing us up. And we have to realize that that doubt we think we're getting away with is coming against ourselves. I'm not a preacher. Somebody else can do that. I'm just another person in the building. No, you're not. No, you're not. Not just another person that's in here. And we might feel like we're alone. And sometimes I do. I really do. But I know if I begin to call out on God, even when I feel that way, Mike, He's going to begin to pick me up. But we have to become fully persuaded. You ever watched an infomercial and you sat there for 15 to 20 minutes, and every minute that goes by, you hear something else that's good about it, and it almost makes you want to pick up the phone and dial? Some of us, that's a vice, and we'll pick up and buy it. And then turns out that what we bought was junk anyway. Did you really expect it to work for $19.95? Come on. The enemy will come by and speak to us and almost persuade us to give up. Almost make us think that it's not worth going on. Not worth coming to church every Friday and Sunday. Not worth going and obeying the Lord. What's it worth getting up and standing there facing all the persecution? What's it worth getting up and singing a song when nobody will hear me? What's it worth getting up and playing when I feel like that it's not as good as everybody else? God is warning people to exercise what you're given. How can we improve? Lest we be persuaded in what God has put in us, lest we begin to believe with a little faith. I'm not asking for a big lot of faith. I'm just wanting you to begin to start believing in what God is doing for you. A little bit. It starts somewhere, and the Word says that we're given a measure of it. That means you're not without. It doesn't grow unless we pour into it. You pour into your faith not only through thought alone, but by prayer and fasting.
As I read, prayer and fasting was the very thing that could cast out demons. And in the world we're living in, I think about just about all the people I'm around nowadays are pretty much possessed with something. Whether it be a bondage of addiction, a bondage of oppression, if they've got a chip on their shoulder. Don't you know a chip on your shoulder is just another form of the devil walking around in anger and trying to make mad every single person that they can. And we as a separated people, like we should be, often fail because we let it get to us. So what if they persecute you? What about Stephen? I don't feel like getting my hand out and saying it's good for you to be here. Glad you're here. I got to do it anyway. God is looking for no excuses, but a little willingness to believe. There's so many people that need encouragement and love. And we're the only ones that have it anymore. Dr. Phil don't got it. Nor does Oprah. Nor does the doctors or anything else we could watch to give us a laugh. It's only but temporary. Say treasure. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. We're moving on. It's talking about Paul was speaking these words. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that. Keep that. How many of you have something that you hold near and dear to you? Loved ones you want to see changed. Devil thinks he's won them. But as we begin to be persuaded, see, God has them. And when we stop praying for them, when we neglect there, we're handing them over. I'm just going to call it like it is. We just hand them right over. Our lack of prayer is the neglect for others that need it. I believe that that's why it says so serious that the blood will be on our hands. It's a serious matter. We have to be in here on fire every service. We have to come together and be in unity every service. There is no more time for dilly-dally. There is no more time for this and for that. It's time to do what we are called according to His purpose to do. Nothing more. We can go and socialize. If we want to socialize and jibber-jabber and all that stuff, let's schedule an event where we go and do that somewhere else. And for that matter, if it's going to be something we're just going to sit around and gossip, I don't want no part of that. If you're going to call me and start talking about your brother or your sister, don't even bother picking up the phone. I'm not interested. But if you want to call and say, I know they've been afflicting me, but I want to pray for them, now that's something I'll turn an ear to. We think we can get away with small talk and persecuting people. I don't understand why they did that at church. Come on now, somebody. I don't understand why that service went that way. I think if they just hadn't got up and did what they did, it would have went another direction. Well, where were we instead of criticizing? Where were we being watchmen over the service? Where were we discerning, trying to figure out exactly what God has? There might be somebody in rags, and we might think that's the very need that God has in store.
when it might be the very one that's standing in front of you speaking. You never know. And if we're not discerning, we could have such corrupt things come from our pulpit. We can. If we're not watching and praying like it instructs, we have no clue. We have no idea. But when we begin to channel into the anointing, all the things that bear as distractions, like somebody just getting around and goofing off, you'll get past that. And you'll be able to obey the Lord. Well, it's too loud. We've lost a few people because it's too loud. We have. If that's the case, turn it down. What else you got? If it's not one thing, it's another. Because when somebody's unsatisfied, they're unsatisfied. And it has nothing to do with the sound system, nor the song selection. It's when we need to come to ourselves and check inside and see what needs to change. I didn't come to be in the midst of critics. Jesus walked in the midst of critics all the time. It says to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Yeah, we know it, but are we doing it? Are we applying it? Are we putting it inside of ourselves instead of trying to make a spectacle of us and let Him use us? I don't want to see spectacles. I want to see miracles. And what divides those things is those things that are done in the flesh and those things that are done in the spirit. A spectacle is something that they talk about on the news. A miracle is often seldom heard because we're not coming together like we should. I say it because I care enough. I say it because I want us to recognize when we're lacking. And I'm the first to tell you that I feel like I lack so much. And sometimes I do just want to lay down and quit, Gail. I do. Not because I'm afraid. It's just because I feel like what I do is so useless. If we listen to Satan long enough, we will be useless. We will be. We got to stop listening to the wrong voice. It says, my sheep know my voice. We could take it a step further and says, we know the voice, but are we hearing? What are we listening to? It might be somebody. It might be somebody that you come in with, that you brought here, and they be distracting you, and God's saying, rise and worship, and you're letting some little thing stand in your way. Another applied example. We have to get past everything that would hinder us. So if you have to literally get out of the bench that you're in and come up to the front to get everything else out of your way, then I suggest you do so. Because if you get the presence of God in you, that is what will bring you through whatever it is that you're facing in your life. Have we went too long? Can we go on just a little further? God is also able to keep you from falling. That's the one I do the most. I don't just gracefully fall. I'm sometimes where I'm not established enough in my life. I just get completely blown over. It's like looking at debris. You don't even know what it was or recognize it. Mike, have you been there? We've all been there. Look at you.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto the eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I'm holding up right there. I want to go on, but I'm holding. Compassion. We got so much junk going on in our lives that we can't even have a heart for somebody else. We're so busy looking on and worrying about everything that's important to me. We miss them. We just miss them. And it's like the priest that even went by, the guy that was laid half dead. Qualified, according to man, referred to as a priest. Now I'm a preacher, but if I walk by the half dead, what good am I to God? If I'm not doing exactly what He called me to do, then what did I come here for? What am I here for? I'm only here. I like to cut up. I like to laugh. I do. That's not why I'm here. I love to play. Love playing with my brothers. Love it more than I ever did anything in my past. That's not why I'm here. You could throw all this junk out of here. Get rid of the equipment. So let's just picture that for a second. What if we didn't have all that stuff? We didn't have boom, pop, boom. And we came in here, it was time to pray, and we all get up and we pray, sometimes not as thoroughly as we should, and there are we. 50, 75 people struggling to find the direction of God. We're not coming together. I found that when unity comes into the house of God, that people just begin to move. People just begin to obey Him because they don't feel like they're alone. When they have the encouragement of their brethren, then they'll obey God not only more frequently, but more confidently. I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for you all encouraging me. I want you all to know that. I would not be as far as I've came in my life without people loving me, even when I failed. Without looking beyond my faults, I'm sure that everybody could have just threw me to the wayside, but I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad that you still care. I'm glad I have this place. I am. I'm glad I have each and every one of my brothers and sisters. And I don't feel like I'm to the point where I prefer you so much over me that sometimes I really want you here so bad I almost feel like I can't do it. That's what I say about Jamie sometimes. I just feel like that if she's not there, I just can't go. I have that. I want to encourage everybody around me because I know of what God can do. See, when I see somebody, I don't look at their faults anymore. As much as I try to be in God's presence when I'm there, I'm not looking at your faults. I'm not looking at what you're going through. I'm seeing where God's taking you to. I'm seeing where God has given me something to show me that it's not the end of the road. Hallelujah. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Does somebody get that? If we abide in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, we'll be able to help people that are in trouble. That's why we're a city on a hill. Not to show up or to show out, but to help those in need. Oh, and if we're not getting that, we're going to answer for it. We're going to answer for it. God is not looking for excuses. He's looking for willingness. Did I already say that? I think I did. I hope we get it a second time. Let's go on. I feel like this verse is for somebody. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Effectual, it means it will serve you great benefit, Mike. He is our consolation. When we doubt, He is our answer. When we question, He is our answer. Preachers, in here, He is our consolation. He will be the one that comforts us when we have nobody. See, a preacher is different from other people that stand up and testify because you're going to be willing to stand when everybody else sits. We're going to be the ones that are going to have that consolidation that will be effectual to us so we're able to come in week to week and be something that somebody can depend upon. We're so many times we're up and we're down because we're not being stable in what God's calling us in that we have to look around at each other and wonder if anybody's got something. Hallelujah. And we're going to have to get out of that business and come in with something with some life in it. Woo! Come in with some life in you. Yeah, it's going to feel like we're raising the dead sometimes, man. I sometimes feel like I'm just dead, tired, aggravated, wore out, and whoo. Here am I.
I got cleaned up. I'm here, Lord. Use me. Use me, Lord. Come on. Pour it on me, Lord. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? We stand up and rise when the honorable judge, somebody comes in. And as the utterances and the worship begins to dwell, woo! Here am I, Lord. Use me. Not even praying. Not even doing anything. But we're just waiting on somebody to do something. We're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. But I feel like that sometimes we wait too long. God sometimes is saying, go. If everybody's sitting around waiting, where are we? If nobody's praying and nobody's seeking God for the word of truth, we're not going to have the message of the hour. We'll have the message of, I hope it's the right thing. There's a difference in coming prepared with this and with that and coming in with what you know, that you know that you know is what God spoke to you. And it might just be two sentences, it might be 2 minutes, it might be 2 words. But I would rather have something that was in God's truth and in His will and from your heart than to have the most articulated thing that I've ever heard. That was a mistake that I made. I depended so much on what I could research, what I could dig into, making sure that I had all the scriptures right because I didn't want to make anybody unhappy if I didn't have a clear understanding of what I was reading. But I learned that the less I depended on my brain and trusted in what God had to say, I didn't stumble. I don't fall. I don't come short. The more that I'm fully persuaded that He will speak through my mouth, that He will play through my hands, He'll do the work. He didn't say, get in and do absolutely everything around you. I don't expect you to get up and play an instrument, run over and sing a song, run back and do this, run back and do that, take up the offering, say the prayer, open up and close up the service. God has a part for everybody to do. God has something for each of us to do, whether it be just to stand up and begin to worship. It's infectious when God's presence begins to come in because you have one that begins to rise and another, and you begin to see it happen, and yet we reject that when it comes through sometimes because we're so focused in the midst of our trial. But God is our comfort. God is our consolation. He is the one that's going to bring us through in all of our tribulation, not just part of it, not just half of it, but all of it. I know for me that sometimes, and this is true story because I just want you all to know, because I deal with these battles too. Sometimes we're praying in an anointed prayer, and the Spirit of the Lord will come by and say, there's a spirit of dance in your feet, and I'm standing there in the moment, I'm like, oh no, I'm not today. Mm-mm. And then I get so upset sometimes because I'm like, Lord, when I get through preaching, I can't talk for a week. I'm going to make it a goal to not yell and scream and carry on like I do. And then I wrestle with that on and on and on. Come on now. Well, they don't like that song. I'm not going to sing nothing. I won't even take requests. It seems silly, but in the moment that God comes by, it's the very thing that holds us back. It's the very thing that keeps us on our seat. It's the very thing that keeps us from even dwelling in something so heavenly, something so holy. If you didn't get a hold of it, there was something hindering you. If you didn't rise up and get a hold of what God was pouring out, there's something in the way. And if we begin to look inside of ourselves more often than just a week or 2 weeks or 2 years, we're not perfect. Man, I'm so not perfect. I have to laugh at myself. Because I mess up so often and it seems so silly when I do it. Bless you to come out of that suffering. That's what that is. love my wife. Lord bless her. Well, you just need to make sure that when you start that you have just that anointing. And if you don't, just begin to pray. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I know what I'm doing. God will even come through your loved ones, and we reject that too. Preachers, appreciate the wonderful people you have in your life. Appreciate your mate, because sometimes that's the very thing that God's wanting to speak to us. And yeah, it's hard to take it from somebody that you live with and they see you in the morning. Come on now. They see you in the morning. They see you in the evening. They see you when you're not pretty. But God can use them too. Amen? Let's not be deceived anymore. Reassure yourself. Read anything that will encourage you. Just read something. Don't pray just for 10 seconds. Lisa, get down and let God know what you're in need of. Don't hold back. And Lord, if He put somebody on your heart, don't be lazy. Just move to it and pray for Him. Know that He saved me. Oh, how many of us are glad for that in here? I know that He delivered me. I know that He did a great work in my life. And I know that He's not done here. Woo! I know He's not done here. He's not finished yet. Are we? Sometimes we act like we are. But we better go on. He might question everything that I've said on that long ago. Ball falls to your end of the field, better grab it, get something with it. It's like hot potatoes. The Word of God hits you, what are you going to do? You're going to hang on, you're going to throw it. I hope that you love this. I hope that at some point in any of that you got a hold of something. Because I'm striving. I said it the other night. I'm making it a goal that every message that I bring, though it may be rejected, though it may not be liked, I'm preaching as if it was the last time I'm standing. God requires me to stand and be bold. God is requiring me to be separated. And I'm stepping out from the midst of the world, and I'm trying to be something different. I want to be an example of something good instead of something where somebody sees me. They see me in the wrong. We got to shape up, man. We got to get out of that junk. We got to start obeying God. That's the only way that we're going to be able to stand with joy. Only way. You go ahead and try it your way. See how far you get. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I tried it my way, and my result was failure. Sheer and utter failure. To the conquering power. Do you hear what I'm saying? I didn't get it, not even a little bit. I tried to do everything I knew to do out in the world. Tried to touch everything I knew to do. Tried to hang out with everybody that I thought was cool. Tried to go out and talk like they talk, walk like they walk, dress like they dress, listen to what they listen to, drink the things they drink, consume the things they consumed, and none of it got me anywhere. Only until I began to lay those things down that I ever see what God had intended for my life from the get-go. Only until I've been able to lay things down in my life, even in the past few years, has God been able to bring me closer that I could ever be able to be worthy enough to even stand. We get so afraid of our faults that we won't even come up here. We just repent and go on. Come on now. Repent and go on. Yeah, you might have doubted yourself. Just let God have it and go on. I'll say it like this. You're tired of hearing me preach. Why don't you dig in and get you something? I don't mind the benefit of the Lord, but if nobody else is going to, I'm going to stand for God. Hey. God, something for some people like that. Hey. You don't like to come in with something and say, God, I'll put something on my heart. Hey. Lord, help me. I'm going to support you. Yeah. I say that in silliness. Please don't get mad.
don't hold it against me. The word talks about it. Do my prophets know